Tips from the Top Floor, show number 89, January 18th, 2006.
Here's another edition of Tips from the Top Floor, bringing you the best tips and tricks for your digital photography.
Hi there, Chris. This is Chris from Leicester in the UK. I just wanted to leave you a message to say thank you so much for giving us Tips from the Top Floor. It's a wonderful show. It's well presented, it's well produced, it's informative, it's entertaining. And it's so much more than that. It's also a wonderful community. I'm really looking forward to meeting up with some of the other listeners and forum members down in London on Saturday. Should be a really great day. Look forward to seeing you all down there, guys. Keep up the good work, Chris, and happy shooting.
And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
Ooh, yes, and what a relaxed Wednesday this is, with some new music kicking off the show. A song by Fishbecker called Lizard, and it's available from the Podsafe Music Network. And for today's show, I had originally planned to review some pieces of noise reduction software, but due to some lack of time, that'll have to wait until next week. So instead, let's take a look at why shooting on ISO 200 can yield better results than shooting on ISO 100. But before we get into that, guess I'm not going to talk about the Mediterranean cruise today. Guess you must be all fed up with me rambling on about it anyway. Just one bit of information. This is the last week with guaranteed booking, so if you're not booked yet, anyway. Now let's talk about ISO. If you own a digital point-and-shoot or mainly shoot in automatic mode, you might not even be aware there is such a thing as ISO. So let me first explain what your camera's ISO setting actually does. Now this might go a bit further into the technical side of things than usual, but bear with me, I'll make this as easy to understand as possible, and at the end I'll present you with a simple formula that should work for anyone. In the days of analog photography, a film's ISO setting told you how sensitive the film was to light. You would use an ISO 100 film for daylight photography, and if you wanted to shoot pictures indoors without using the flash, you'd buy a higher ISO film, 400, 800 or even 1600. And of course, you were stuck with the film in your camera until it was used up. And in the photographer's lingo, the ISO rating of a film was also often referred to as the speed of the film. And that's why you might hear analog photographers talking about things like fast or slow films. Now, with today's digital cameras, we have much more freedom to instantly change their ISO setting, and some of them even do it for us automatically. Now, let's take a very close look at the camera's sensor. Let me remove mine from the I'm not actually doing this, I'm just pretending, and I wouldn't recommend you to do so. The sensor is a very delicate piece of your camera, and it holds millions and millions of tiny little light-sensitive cells, the so-called pixels. But let's pretend I removed the sensor and I put it under a microscope to get a closer look. Wow, I can now see the individual pixels. Ooh, they almost look like little buckets. Okay, they don't actually resemble buckets at all, but let's stick with this picture for now. Okay, so let's see what happens if I press the shutter on my camera. Oh, that was too fast. Let's try to slow this down a bit. Okay, that's better. Now, here's what the camera has done. It has first emptied all those millions of buckets, and then it opened the shutter, which is a black curtain in front of the sensor. And then the light started to pour in through the lens, and all those little bits of light started to fill up those buckets. And then the camera closed the shutter again, and the image from the sensor was processed and then saved to the memory card. Ooh, and all of that happened within a fraction of a second. Now that's impressive. Now what's most interesting in this process is the time during which the light fills up those buckets. I can see that a few of them or being half full, which in the end probably results in a medium bright pixel on your image. And then some of them have not been hit by any light at all, and those are totally empty, and in the result the pixels are being totally black, and some of the buckets are completely full. That's the bright and sometimes even overexposed pixels. Ah, now let's try to take another picture, but this time in low light. Now let me have a look at those buckets again. Oh, and I can see many of them being only filled a fraction. No full ones at all. And wait, how about increasing the brightness of this picture by telling the camera to double the amount of light in each of the buckets before saving this picture to the memory card? Aha! And guess what? That's exactly what the ISO setting on your camera does. By cranking it up, you will set the multiplication factor that the camera will apply to the individual pixels before it saves the picture. Pretty cool, isn't it? Now, on closer inspection, I can see that there are minute differences in the size of those tiny buckets and in their individual light sensitivity. And I think that's pretty obvious when you look at how many of them are on this tiny chip. It's just a matter of precision in the production process, and I think that's about the best they can do right now. And this is one thing that accounts for the noise in your pictures. If you crank up the ISO really high, those tiny little differences will be exaggerated too, and in turn, the noise in your picture goes up. And this also explains why we're often being told that we should shoot with an as low as possible ISO setting. But wait a minute. In the beginning of the show, I said that shooting with ISO 200 could sometimes yield better results than using 100. Now, this seems to be contrary to the recommendation to shoot at low ISOs. So what's happening here? Well, let's take a closer look at those buckets again. If you press the button, the camera opens the shutter, light pours in and hits the sensor, and the camera closes the shutter again. The amount of light that hits the sensor is determined by the shutter speed and the aperture. And if you let the camera automatically determine the right exposure, it'll try to make sure that not too much light comes in order to avoid overexposure. But of course, you know that sometimes you still have overexposed areas in your picture. And if you zoom in on an area of a picture that has very bright overexposure right next to a very dark area, you can often see a colored fringe around the overexposed areas. A good example is a picture of a dark tree against a bright sky. Now, in some cases, this has to do with the lens you use, but very often it also has to do with the light spill. If the buckets for the bright sky are all filled up and there's still more light coming in, the buckets will spill over into the empty ones that are next to them. Now, by increasing the ISO to 200, you'll tell the camera's automatic metering to reduce the amount of light that comes in, which in turn will help not to overfill the buckets. Of course, the content of the buckets will still be multiplied because you dialed in a higher ISO, but the overexposure from that calculation will be different because you have successfully avoided the spill. Whew! Now that's something to chew on for a bit. I'm just glad it's a podcast and you can rewind whenever you like. Anyway, no problem if you had trouble following all this. It took me a while to understand, and I guess it can actually be boiled down to this easy formula. If you happen to find colored fringes in high contrast areas of your image, it doesn't necessarily have to be the lens. Try raising the ISO a bit, and sometimes this will fix your problem. And that was it for today's Tips from the Top Floor. Tune in again on Friday for an interesting interview with a professional in the field of photo manipulation. You won't talk about this, you won't talk about that, you won't say where it's at. Until then, my name is Chris Mockward, podcasting from the top floor at Tübingen, Southern Germany. Enjoy the rest of the week. Love, peace, and happy shooting. Sunshine after rain.